Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Crank up the radio. Listen to your boy, DG. We got an outstanding show for you. Steve Berline's going to join us. Domer, longtime NFL quarterback. We'll talk about Notre Dame's coaching hire, and we'll talk about the National Football League. That's upcoming in 20 minutes. I think Berline's great. Chris Sims, who we know is great, has very strong opinions. Some of you agree with, some of you disagree with. We don't care. He's our guest. He's our friend. He'll join us next hour. And in the third hour of the show, Joel Klatt will join us. We'll talk about the college football playoff. We'll talk about these coaching movement and who actually, like all these hires, are interesting. And if you do half full, you do half empty. But we'll get Klatt's perspective now. We reserve the right to be wrong as well. Remember, this show is brought to you by one of our favorite cities, Las Vegas. Las Vegas, Nevada. Go to visitlasvegas.com and start planning your trip. I gave the rundown of the Raider game. It's pretty amazing. It's going to work. I've told you it's going to work for a long time, and it's brought to you by one of our favorite cities, Las Vegas, greatest arena on earth. Plan your trip today. Visit lasvegas.com. Okay. Here's what I want to do. Okay. And Jason Stewart, you can't cheat because you know what I want to get to. But I will ask you, Jason Stewart, coming off of last night's game, Monday Night Football, where I was wrong, I was right. You guys were all right, right? You guys all took the Pats and the under. I took the Bills and the under. So I was 1-1. You guys were 2-0. Congratulations. What do you think the top storyline of last? I think I know, but again, JC, what do you think the top most shows will lead with storyline from last night?
I think it was either Bill Belichick is a genius who found a new way, new tricks up his sleeve, or let's not overrate what Bill Belichick did. The Bills had many chances.
Okay. Ramos, what do you think last night's, the narrative coming off of last night would be?
Patriots doing it any which way they can. Like, you know, just any way they can win, they're finding a way. Yep.
Yeah, find a way to win a game. Like that. Dan Beyer, what do you think? You do this obviously with the headlines at top of the hour with our game. Half past the hour. What do you think the takeaways are for most people from last night?
Belichick proves he's the GOAT again.
Oh, okay. Can I give you one that I thought that, again, I see the world like, I feel like this is the perfect game that no one wants to sit next to in the dugout. Right? That no one wants to jinx it. And maybe I'm going to jinx it, but I want to be the first to put my flag in the ground and say, last night's game opens up not just the possibility, or maybe the possibility continues to grow, that we could have the most intriguing Super Bowl ever. Now, keep in mind, we never had Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady, though I wish it was because of all those things that went bump in the night when Aaron Rodgers had a torn calf and they lost in Seattle. Right? We didn't get then. We never had LeBron versus Kobe in an NBA finals, right? So that was what I thought we might get once upon a time. We never got that dream matchup. And I think for fans, in terms of the overall draw, right? The dream matchup would probably this year would be in terms of, fan base and anybody from the NFC, any of the three or four biggies, but the Cowboys are the biggest, right? The Cowboys against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. We just had Cowboys-Chiefs. It would be a rematch. Obviously, Rodgers versus Mahomes would be great. And we already had Tom Brady versus Mahomes last year, although market size and following of Tampa, but it doesn't seem to matter because it's Tom Brady. Can I tell you what my takeaway last night, the perfect game that no one wants to sit next to is? Has anybody thought we could have Belichick versus Brady in the Super Bowl? It's that awkward prom situation, right? Where you had that couple and they were together, going back to seventh and eighth grade. And now you get to prom and they're no longer together. and they take dates, right? And, you know, Belichick takes a date that looks exactly like Tom Brady used to look like, right? Like that, clearly this is, Mac Jones is his type. Whereas Brady traded in the older model for a more fun date, right? Like the previous date was very conservative, very classy, did things her own way. This one just likes to have a good time. Have we thought of that? Can you imagine Brady versus Belichick in the Super Bowl? Did you guys? I actually went back and listened to you yesterday. I listened to we did a segment on why people don't care about the Heisman Trophy, and you gave great thought and a really interesting insight. Has that crossed your mind as a possibility?
I'm trying to figure out the right way to put this, because the NFL has been so wide open. Mm-hmm. I think that that has not been something that has been on my, been on my mind, because I didn't know who was the best team in the NFC for the last month, because it's been so volatile. And I think the same thing with the AFC. So as you're sitting there trying to figure it out, I think it's just been so crazy over the last, just really over the last month in November, and who's been good and who hasn't, that it's been so wide open that haven't even really thought that we could possibly get a rematch of those, or not even a rematch, but a showdown between those two.
Jay Stu, when I mentioned it on our phone call, had you been thinking about it previously?
I had not. And I think my reasoning is that up until like last week, I really didn't think that a rookie was going to lead a team to a Super Bowl.
And, it's still unlikely. Listen, it's still unlikely. I'm like just in terms of a rookie and this team. But as Beyer pointed out, like I think one reason is it's so topsy turvy. We see a team one week and we fall in love. We see in the next week, like, God, I don't like that team. Right? I mean, heck, if you saw Seattle for the last couple weeks and you watch Seattle against San Francisco, you're like, wait, what? What? This doesn't make any sense. But now take a breath. We're well past the halfway mark. Things are starting to take shape. And the Patriots have home field advantage throughout. And as we've seen, they can play in any weather condition. They're built for that. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are one game back of having home field advantage throughout against the Arizona Cardinals. So if they're the number one seeds, it's the most likely scenario in which they get there. Again, I'm with you. Like, it's so week to week and it's so wide open. But like, the Patriots are getting better. Sure. And the Buccaneers are going to be there. It ain't crazy. And I don't know, I'm watching last night, like, nobody's brought that up. Like,
To be honest, I was going to say that I've liked New England the past month because of their consistency, where now I have questions about Tampa.
Totally understandable. Right. You have questions about, and this is to Jason's point, what will Mac Jones do in the playoffs? Whereas for Tampa, you're like, and by the way, Tampa kind of quietly, again, playing what you would think two bad teams, whatever, but they've quietly won three in a row. Right? Now, they lost to Washington, which is a head scratcher. They lost to the Saints. They have the Bills. Poor Bills, right? The Bills lose that game. Now they got to turn around and play in a short week on the road against Tampa. At least they get out of the weather is the only thing. The back end of the schedule for the Buccaneers is like the back end of the schedule last year. You do have Bills. Then you have Saints at home. Then you have Panthers, Jets, Panthers to finish the season. Which, this is what happened to them last year, right? Where they had a soft end of the, and they kind of figured it out at the end of the year. But I'm watching last night, and yeah, they only threw the ball three times and still won. Their defense is dynamic. Their coaching staff is outstanding. You trust their kicking game. And like, do I think Mac Jones is great? No, but it's pretty obvious you don't have to be great at that position all the time if you just don't turn it over. And they have a winning formula. I don't know. Last night was fun because all of us laymen idiots who sit at home, and this is all of us, are like, why can't you just stop the run? Just load up. It's like, it's not that easy. It's really not that easy. And the Patriots never, and I would have thought at some point you'd go bring in, you know, they don't really have a running quarterback. That would have been a game where, whether it's Cam Newton or having a backup as running quarterback, you play 11 on 11 even harder. But, you know, using extra offensive linemen for leverage, that just shows that, like, a committed team and running the football, you can know what's coming and still not stop it. And just because you have all those guys in the line of scrimmage, sometimes that actually hurts you. But that was a virtuoso in terms of coaching. It was an amazing, amazing football game for me to watch just because, you know, like, look, I played football as a kid. I watched football, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I understand all the different formations and how that stuff works. But that's the brilliance to the Patriots is, what do we have to do to win this week? And then what do we have to do to win next week? And as much as I think people think of Bill Belichick as a curmudgeon, as an old school football guy, what he's actually brought to the NFL is a versatility, a malleability. Ooh, that was a good word. A malleability. Because they do whatever it takes to win each game. The old football mentality is, we do what we do well, and they got to stop us. They're like, yeah, sometimes what if you're the K-gun offense that the Bills used to have last night? You'd have no chance. You can't do that. You have to run the football. But I think that what the Patriots have done consistently through all these different machinations of outstanding football teams is, whatever it takes to win each game, that's what they do. And as much as you can prepare on tape, they take in what you do and try and make you play left-handed. And then offensively, you know, let's just do what it takes to win the game. And they did. And it does feel more devastating. It just does. And I'll get to the question that was asked in the beat reporter to the Bills about if they were embarrassed by their performance, that one upcoming. But coming up next, the Manning brothers did the 9th out of their 10 broadcast, right? The Manning cast. I'm going to relate it to the best steak you've ever had.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Fa la 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 la. Now look, it was California cold last night in Southern California, and I know when you listen to this, you're like, dude, stop it, okay? But when you're used to 70 and sunny, and it's 55 and rainy, it's cold, okay? It's cold. But was anybody else who's watching, and you guys, we're all over the country, we're all over the world. I did, we're on in Australia, and it was really cool. Last night I did a radio interview kind of about my gun rant yesterday. But the guys in Australia, listen to the show. We have Fox Sports Radio down there. They're like, mate, I love Dan Patrick. It's a little early for us here. We're like, really? I'm apparently the morning show in Sydney, Australia. I also didn't know if they had the real accent thing, you know, going like real. Should I? Hello, mate. Right. Like I talk like me. I was trying to figure out if I should do a Brian Kelly, like start with guys. And then by the end of the interview, go to mate. Be like, I'm going to throw another shrimp at the Bobby. A good decision not to. Right. Right. Buyers like, thank God you didn't do that. We've just been the laughing stock of all shows. We'll get to Dan Byer in a second. Then we're going to get to Steve Berline. Have you guys, you ever gone to a restaurant really, really hungry? Right? You ever gone to a restaurant really, really hungry? And you go in and you eat, and you're like, I haven't eaten all day. And you take a bite, you're like, oh my God, that's the best meal I've ever had in my life. And then you go back to that restaurant. You take a friend and you're like, listen, order the tortellini, Alfredo. Okay. Get the Caesar salad, tortellini, and then get this Chianti to wash it down. No fava beans. Anyway, just try it. You sit down, you order the exact same meal. You might even have the exact same waiter. It might be the same day of the week. I went on a Tuesday last week. It was so good. I came back on a Tuesday. So you guys get the same chef. And you sit down, you're like, still really good. But why is it not the same? Right? Why is it not the same? I kind of did this actually at my house a couple weeks ago. I was hungry. I was actually starved. And, you know, like I have a cheap gene to me where sometimes I'll just do, you know, I drink my M Drive shake and eat as cheaply as possible for enough days. And I was like, you know what? I'm spending some money on me. I went out and got a Wagyu steak, a little skirt steak. It was not cheap. I made it. I seasoned it just with, you know, like that Himalayan salt, the you know, thick piece. And it just, like everything, the amount of time I cooked it, the flavoring, it was perfect. And I was starved. And then the next time I did it, like, it was still really, really good. But then I was like, man, I paid how much for a steak? I just had it last week. Still good, but I don't know. Took a week off, had it again. Good, but fine. That's where I think we are with the Manning cast. Because when we first had the Manning, like, we were dying to have, got to have Peyton Manning on TV, got to have Peyton Manning TV. And the juxtaposition of the Mannings with Steve Levy, Brian Griese, and Louis Riddick. Right? Like, we were dying for some entertainment. Those guys are very good. Okay, they know football. They teach football. They're great. Do you know what they're not? They're not entertaining. They're just not. And part of it is, like, you know, those guys, it's not an easy gig. ESPN's been constantly recruiting people over them. You know, you just want to be yourself, but you're a little buttoned up. There's lots of promos and ads. And whereas the Manning cast, they get to just talk. Here's Peyton talking about an autographed Josh Allen jersey for his son.
Problem is you have like 50-year-old guys who pay some 8-year-old to write a letter to me, and you end up sending an autograph to, you know, a 50-year-old man who kind of is kind of abusing the system. But I mean, we actually do it the right way in our family.
That's a game used.
This is Peyton Manning telling a story about trying to book Mac Jones on his show.
Said you talked to Josh Allen. Did you talk to Mac Jones? You know, do you talk to all the quarterbacks?
Well, I tried to talk to Mac Jones, and he was very respectful. He said, Peyton, I want to do it, but can you call our PR director, Stacy, because he kind of has to oversee all things. I said, no problem. I called Stacy. He was very professional. I said, Stacy, I'm talking to Coach Belichick. You know, can I talk to Mac Jones? And I got to tell you, I appreciate how they're handling Mac Jones. They are trying to protect him, give him as few off-the-field distractions as possible, let him concentrate on playing football. So, yes, I did get denied. It was the first quarterback I haven't talked to, but I appreciate it.
Here's David Letterman, who, I said David Letterman, like, look, David Letterman's show used to be, if I was up late, that was the show. I just don't, I don't find him funny anymore. It's like Chevy Chase, not funny anymore. Here's David Letterman on Bill Belichick's live nose wipe.
Dave, there's Bill Belichick right there. I know Bill has been on your show before, but you're a big Colts fan. What were your impressions of Bill?
Oh, buddy. Well, I tell you, you get two different Bill Belichicks. You get the guy who blows his nose in his hand and then wipes his sweatshirt. You got that guy. I'll take all of that you got.
Here's Aqib Talib on what it's like playing for Bill Belichick.
They wanted to be strict right in New England, right? But to be honest, PM, it's not that strict. He just care about a couple things, man. Don't be late. If you're late, he's sending you home for the whole day. Know your stuff. And don't play around with the media. So, you know what I'm saying? You stick to those three rules, you'll have a great time in New England. Just like I did.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good, right? Like, people, I actually thought it was really good insight. I thought this was probably the best line of the night from Peyton. Was talking about how he hates commercial breaks, and doesn't Joe Buck hate commercial breaks? Joe had this response.
2 minute, yeah, 2 minute warning.
That's
Joe,
Adrian
Phillips. Do you hate
Phillips.
TV timeouts as much as I do? Because, I mean, Joe, I really enjoy interrupting David Letterman when he's telling a joke because we're going to commercial. Have you ever had to do that?
How can I say I hate TV timeouts? I'm sitting in my house in Cabo. No, I love it. And when you do more TV, Peyton and Eli, you're going to love them too. Every time your little personal register rings. Don't ever forget that.
It's awesome. Let's get to Dan. So anyway, my point, go ahead. You can roll that into Dan. I mean, Dan, it's like, it's still good, but it's not as good as when you're crazy hungry.
Buyer.
And you took that bite, right?
Sure. I think there's a huge flaw that they are completely missing.
What's that?
And that's that they are assigning these guests to quarters, and you don't know how a game is going to flow. And I know that there may be, but there's no planned time. It's not like David Letterman coming up at, you know, 8:30 Eastern or something like that. I'm not even saying that they should do that, but when you assign guests to certain times, you have no idea where the commercial breaks are going. You don't know how game flow is going to go, so you don't know how much time you're going to have, and so at times it becomes choppy. And if you need to let a guy go, just let him go, or let her go if it's not interesting. And there's not a lot of flexibility, I think, when they assign guests to each quarters. Some are really good. Aqib Talib was good. Maybe he should have been there a quarter and a half or a full quarter. And the same thing with Joe Buck. But yeah, I think they're painting themselves, you know, into a corner when they're doing that. Just my thoughts. It's not a lot of flexibility. Big injury in women's basketball as UConn women's star Paige Beckers is going to miss 6 to 8 weeks because of a fracture in her knee. Doug,
that's actually good news, believe it or not. Like, and people are like, well, how could that possibly be good news? If you watched her go down, and Paige Beckers is the next superstar, right? That's how she's billed. She has a Gatorade deal. She's like the next thing. And if you watch it, like, oh God, gosh, not an ACL, right? And then, so it's a break of the tibial plateau. Is that right? Tibia plateau or something. That is, I believe that's okay. So if your knee, and I'm learning a bunch about the knee in terms of rehab, I think that is like plateau. What does that mean? Right. So it's a flat area, a bone or whatever that's broken. I think it's at the top of the tibialis, which is that bottom shin bone, if you will. But anyway, the point is it's actually, believe it or not, good news. Believe it or not, it's good news. You're like, how is that possible? It just is. It's good news. It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. We'll get you to Steve Berline in a moment. In the meantime, lot to get to here. You know, like, it's hard to be critical of Josh Allen when that thing is, wind is whipping, right? But they did get whipped at the line of scrimmage. The final score may not be indicative, but To have a team come in who's dominated you for two decades and have a rookie quarterback, it feels like that's a win and a half for the Patriots. I could be overvaluing it. Steve Berline, of course, starred in the NFL, starred in college, former Domer, 15-year vet in the National Football League, kind enough to spend some time with us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. As a guy who sees the game at a doctor level, what impressed you last night about the Patriots?
Oh, well, to echo what you were saying, you know, that was a huge game. And I really felt that Buffalo, especially given the conditions, would have a significant advantage. Now, never in my wildest dreams did I think the Patriots were only going to throw the ball three times the whole game. You know, I did not expect them to put much on Mac Jones at all, but that was absolutely a clinic in coming out and sticking with your game plan. It was obvious to everyone watching that was the Patriot plan, to just completely commit 100% to the run game. They obviously made some adjustments in their run game too that I couldn't really comment on because I don't know what the subtle changes were, but whatever they were doing up front was really causing Buffalo some problems, because Buffalo knew they were not even considering throwing the football, you know, a quarter and a half into the game. And to be able to have the success they still had running the football in a situation where Buffalo knew they were going to run the football, that was pretty impressive. And, you know, I obviously the defense for New England, you always kind of expect them to show up, especially with those conditions. I thought that Josh Allen would be a little bit more of a factor with his legs, but it just didn't materialize that way. You know, truly, we all knew it was going to be a very game very close to the vest because of those conditions. But it's just another feather in the cap of Bill Belichick. I mean, he came out with a game plan, he and Josh McDaniel, and they stuck with it, and it worked out beautifully for him in the end. And that's why they are the New England Patriots.
Steve Berline's our guest on the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Can he win a Super Bowl with Mac Jones as a rookie, considering how they're playing offensively?
Well, I'm not going to say no. I'm not going to say you can't do it. I would be extremely surprised if they were able to get that far. But the consistency that they're playing with right now, and yesterday, you really can't give Mac Jones a grade on that performance yesterday. There, he truly was simply, you know, a I don't know what the word would even be, but he was simply a person that was just operating the, you know, get the snap and give it to somebody else and get out of the way. The three throws that they threw were all very safe, and you know, no decision making for him as well throughout the course of the evening. So you can't really give him a grade for that. I think a lot of people could have gone in there and done as well as he did, given those conditions and given that game plan. But what he's done to this point in general has been absolutely spectacular. I don't know how you could ever have foreseen him to be at the level as far as NFL ready to play that he is. And you've got to give a lot of credit to Josh McDaniel again. The time he spent with Mac Jones and the decision-making, the accuracy, the consistency that he shows up with, how he prepares for each game, it's wisdom way beyond his years. I don't think the Patriots are going to make their way all the way to the Super Bowl, but, man, I didn't think Brady was going to do it, you know, as many times as he did as well. And he just kept finding a way to get it done. And it really is, I think, an illustration of how unique and how special Bill Belichick and that New England system really continues to just perform at the highest level, no matter who they've got in the stable, so to speak.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Steve Berline is our guest, longtime NFL analyst, longtime starting quarterback in the National Football League. Okay, let me ask this. Baker Mayfield, how do you fix that if you're the Browns, as you're still in the hunt? He's banged up, they're banged up, but they clearly have the talent to make it to the playoffs, especially with extra teams in the playoffs. If you got a headset on or you're advising Cleveland, what do you do?
Well, I think the Cleveland Browns, the mentality for them, you know, this last part of the season coming off the bye week, hopefully is that bye week really benefited Baker Mayfield, that some of his bumps and bruises are healed up to the point where they're not affecting him as much down the stretch. But you got to really get back to who you are. They have not been as committed to the run game or not nearly as successful, I guess, in the run game prior, the last few weeks that we've seen. And as Baker's level of play has kind of deteriorated for whatever the reasons might be, they've not been able to take the pressure off of him by running the football. So that, I'm sure that's what the emphasis has been on throughout the course of the bye week, was, let's get Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb healthy. And if you got to go to, the third guy, Johnson, than that as well. They just have that trio of running backs ready to run that football 30 to 40 times a game. Play that kind of smash mouth football, set up the play action for Baker Mayfield, try to keep teams from really focusing in and putting the pressure on him, on Baker. And then you have a chance to be successful. I think the Browns defense is going to be just fine down the stretch. They're a good young defense. They can play with anybody. If they can get that running game going to take the pressure off of Baker, you know, keep his throws in that 25 to 30 range at the most, I think they'll be in every game and have a chance to win.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. What's going on with Lamar Jackson?
That's a great question. You know, he's obviously very frustrated, and he wants to win so badly. He's so competitive, and he is, I think, one of the worst in the league at keeping that poker face. You can always tell exactly what Lamar is thinking, and it's one of the things that I think all of us as competitors love about him, because you can see how much it means to him. But I think he's trying a little bit too hard, and I think that's really what's holding him back. You know, he's been so good over the short term of his career in terms of protecting the football and being able to consistently perform at a very high level. I think he's, you know, just as Patrick Mahomes is going through challenges right now. They're roughly the same age. I think Mahomes has got maybe one more year on him as far as NFL experience. But when you look at Patrick Mahomes after a game, even after they lose and he's not played well, he always has a look of, we're going to be okay. We're going to figure this out. You know, we're struggling a little bit right now, but we're going to figure this out. And you believe it. And it's always very positive. And he finds a way to kind of ease the negativity, I guess, so to speak. And Lamar just really has a tough time doing that. He just comes out and just says, you know, I want to win. I'm mad. I'm not playing well. We're not playing well. And I think he has to kind of take a step back and understand there are going to be points throughout the course of a game and of the season where it's not going to go perfectly. You've got to try to work through those times as best you possibly can, and don't make it worse by trying to force things and trying to make things happen that aren't really there. And I think he's learning that this year more so than any time in his career. There are times where you just have to sit back and say, hey, it's not going to happen on this drive. It's not, you know, no need to force it. Let's play the field position game, and then we'll get him next time we come back.
You went to Notre Dame to play for Jerry Faust. Lou Holtz, I think his first year was your senior year. Do I have my years correct?
You got it right. Yeah, I was his first quarterback.
Okay, so when he came in, what was that like for the program? Because the program was not in the shape it's in now. Jerry Faust was never able to, you know, he's a high school coach at Moeller High School in Cincinnati, right? And he came in, and you guys went to a couple bowl games, but never really able to crack the code. What was it like when Lou Holtz got to Notre Dame?
Well, you know, we got to remember now, we were 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. I had 3 years with Jerry Faust. He had been there 2 years before I got there, so I was there for his third, fourth, and fifth years. But as a team, we were 18, 19, 20-year-old kids and had never played at that level for anybody else. So we really didn't know what it should be like and what it should feel like. We just felt like we were underachieving and weren't playing to the standard of Notre Dame football expectations. And then it took us it took us maybe 3 minutes with Lou Holtz before we realized that this was different. And you could just sense it. We all were looking at each other in that first meeting, and we were like, oh, my gosh, this guy really knows what he's doing. And he won us over that quickly. And, you know, there was no getting to know you kind of period. It was like, what do we want? What are we supposed to do? How do you want it done? And let's go. We'll do whatever you tell us to do. We wanted it so badly, but we also knew that he had a very clear plan of how to get it done. And as a motivator, there's nobody that even to compare with Lou Holtz at that time, and probably not even in this day and age. But, you know, we went out, and obviously the rest of it took care of itself. And I really feel good, really good, about this decision right now with Marcus Freeman. I think it's going to be a real positive, even though I hated the way that it happened and the way that Brian Kelly handled himself through the whole thing. I think he showed his true colors in a lot of ways, and I'm not going to get into bashing him because, you know, it was an incredible run that they had over the course of his time there. But a lot of Notre Dame people have been waiting to turn the page on Brian Kelly, and he made it easy. I think Jack Swarbrick, the athletic director, did the right thing by hiring Marcus Freeman, and you could see how that team obviously really fed off of that energy and that overall decision. So I think they're going to make a statement in this Fiesta Bowl game. I would not want to be in Oklahoma State's shoes right now because that's going to be a fired-up football team that they're going to be facing, and a team that really believes this is a statement time for them to show what Notre Dame is all about and what Notre Dame is going to be under Marcus Freeman.
Great stuff. Steve Berline, former Domer, of course, or always a Domer, and 15-year vet in the National Football League, longtime NFL analyst. Steve, you're the best. Thanks for joining us, man.
You got it, Doug. We'll talk to you, man. Take care.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
All right, going to switch up first hour, second hour, because Dan Byer needs his time to get his game in because it's a really good game. In the meantime, we want to play for you a portion of a previous show on Fox Sports Radio. We call it...
And now...
What does the Fox say?
Here's Colin Cowherd talking about Nick Saban and Bill Belichick.
Right into their wheelhouse. I will say this about both Belichick and Saban. There is a reason that they've had lots and lots of their assistants and coordinators leave and fail. Because you can copy a lot in life. You can't copy smart. And both Belichick this past offseason and Saban about 4 years ago did something a lot of older coaches won't do. They threw stuff away. They adapted. They evolved. That is the difference between aging well and aging poorly. Can you get over yourself? Belichick's like, I'm going to give the drafting back to the scouts. I'm not doing a very good job at this sometimes. And I'm going to spend some money in free agency. That's so anti-Bill. Nick Saban, 4 or 5 years ago, I read a great story in the New York Times about earlier this year, where Saban admitted when he got Lane Kiffin on his staff, he's like, you can't win with defense. You can't stop anybody. He goes, I can't stop anybody, and I got all the best players. I mean, Georgia this weekend, they couldn't stop anybody. They couldn't stop them. And so I love to see we discard people so quickly, right? But if Brady's playing until his mid-40s and Brady's going to win the MVP, then why can't these guys coach to 78, 79 years old?
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. It is a great point. Yeah, coaching doesn't, as long as you have the energy for it and you're willing to learn and evolve, I don't think that's really my takeaway from last night, though. Right? I also think the free agency thing, it wasn't because Bill Belichick changed his mind. It was because they never had money previously to spend. And it was a unique time, you know, where other teams, because the cap went down, didn't have money. The Patriots did. And the Patriots had to fill up their roster. Their reserves were empty. And it was because the previous year they were in cap hell and they just took it on the chin instead of doing what so many teams do is you're pretty good. You push money, you know, to next year, to next year, to next year. And then ultimately you have a cap. That was their bad cap year.